Fred Film Radio.
Angelo Cerbi, Fred Film Radio from the CU Sound Festival in Torino, and I'm here with Till Schauder, the director of When God Sleeps. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Till, your film tells a story of an Iranian musician that received a fatwa when he was 25 years old and had to leave Iran and become a refugee in Germany. I mean, this is the starting point of the film.
Actually, he had to leave Iran before he received the fatwa. He was about 24 when he left Iran because he had already gotten in trouble with the authorities there, found exile in Germany. And interestingly, the fatwa was declared when he was already living in exile.
And his name is Shahin Najafi.
Shahin Najafi, exactly.
And you followed him through many years, through a couple of tours that he made in Northern Europe. How did you become involved with him and with his story?
We made another film a few years ago called The Iran Job, which was about an American basketball player who chose to play professional basketball in Iran. And that was during the time of very high political tensions between America and Iran, similar to now again, unfortunately. And for that film, we used a lot of underground hip-hop and rap Iranian music, which was very surprising for me to discover. And so we licensed five or six Iranian artists, and one of them was Shahin. And I remember when we did the credit roll for that film, some of the other artists called us or emailed us and said, if you put Shahin in the credits, please don't put my name in the credits. And then that was interesting. I realized that he was already very toxic then, just to be associated with him. When that film premiered, we invited Shahin to the premiere in Los Angeles and didn't hear back from him or his agent. And then I didn't give it much thought. I thought maybe he's on tour or something. Until my wife, who's also the producer of the film, said, go look at the news. And he had just received the fatwa that week of the premiere. So he was in hiding and nobody could find him or contact him. And so that was, of course, very interesting. And then we reached out to him very slowly. I didn't send him an email and said, hey, let's make a film about this. I just kind of started making a contact and invited him to the premiere of the other film, Iran Job, and he liked that a lot, and so that gave me a bit of an opening to kind of, you know, start a relationship. And it was a longer courtship, because if you see the film, you'll see that he's not the easiest character. He's not the kind of guy where you just go and, you know, say, hey, let's make a movie.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem like that difficult either. I mean, in the film, because I didn't find him that harsh.
That's interesting that you say that. I have screened the film probably all over the world by now, and this is the first time I hear that.
Really?
Mostly audiences pick up on the fact that he is a complicated character. I mean, by the way, he treats his bandmates, and even without the fatwa, he's an intense character.
But yeah, he's intense. He knows what he wants, and he probably is. He has this kind of very commanding character, but I didn't find him like difficult. I don't know, maybe it's just me.
Well, then why don't you make a movie with him? You'll find out soon enough.
Exactly. And, which leads to my second question is how difficult it was to build up the film, to build it up in terms of financing and then to shoot it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the financing for that film was relatively easy. I mean, it's always difficult to finance documentary films. But this one, I think because of the Speedom of Fritsch issue and because the culture clash between Islam and the West is so prominent in everybody's perception right now, we've gotten a lot of interest pretty early on, both in Germany and also in the U.S. So, for example, we were able to get some development grants, including from the Sundance Film Institute and Fork Films in America, but also from the German Film Foundation. And so that was really good. The film was always kind of financed until finally at the end bigger broadcasters came on board, and also we got cinema funding in Germany. So the financing was relatively easy, but making the film was not easy. That was definitely the hardest film I've ever made. Yeah, when you have a protagonist who's constantly on the edge like that, where you don't actually know what's going to happen to him, you know, and who therefore is very jumpy and irritable, and you know, that makes it very tough. So you know, along the way, there were situations where some of my crew members dropped out, similar to how some of his band members dropped out, and it was a very stressful picture. And I'm pretty happy it's over.
How long did it take to make it?
It took 3.5 years from pretty much the first time I filmed with him was in 2013, exactly one year to the day after he received the first fatwa. And then during my filming, I witnessed the second fatwa. And that was, from a storytelling point of view, was of course a treasure trove. That was great for the story. But on a personal level, it was also quite demanding.
Being him so difficult, as you said, and being the situation he was living in so complicated, how did you work on the narrative of the film? I mean, did you have any kind of previous ideas when you started shooting, or you just went with the flow of what was happening?
I did have some ideas, but I found with documentaries, you know, you write a script, you write a treatment, but you have to very quickly let go of that, and at least in the type of films that I make, which are observational and really let sort of the events dictate what this film is all about. I just kind of went with the flow. But it makes it, you know, it's a little scary, that process, when you film for a year or so and you don't feel you quite have the narrative arc just yet, you know. But in my experience with every film, there comes a moment where you shoot something and you realize, now I've got the film. Now I've got a way to build a narrative arc, right? And in this particular film, this happened when, after the second fatwa, when he had that moment at the window where he breaks down, because throughout the shooting and screening the footage, everybody always said, well, he is a very impenetrable character. He has this huge guard around himself, and you can't really access his emotions, you know. And that scene just contradicted all of that. And so that was great, because that gave me a chance to, you know, have a real character revelation about him. And then, you know, the refugee crisis in Germany that happened during the filming was another good way to tie a narrative in there, because he is a refugee himself at the end of the day. So, you know, he starts as a refugee coming to Germany, finding a home, an oasis really for him, which then turns on him. Once you get that sense that you have a couple of scenes that really help you build a narrative, then you feel a lot more at ease as a filmmaker. And then it's really just about filling out holes and, you know.
What did he think about the film?
He has seen the film. It's always the most stressful screening, when you screen the film for your protagonist. It's never easy, but in this case, even more so. And so we had signed a contract with him whereby I gave him I guaranteed him a courtesy screening. It's called a courtesy, where he sees it before anybody else. And I think he thought that he would have creative input rights, which he never did, and the contract made that very clear. The only thing he did have rights to is to say, if, you know, let's say I misrepresented some fact grossly, then he could say, hey, that's not the case. So I flew to Cologne really just for one day, because we had gotten an invitation for the Tribeca Film Festival and needed to finish the film. And so I flew to Cologne one day and showed it to just him, his girlfriend Leili, and then Günter Wallraff, this German journalist who helped him tremendously. And that was stressful. And he sat down with a book and a pen and has an opinion about everything. So I was ready for the worst. And then I never looked at the film. I looked at him all the time, and I saw that at some point he stopped writing. And right afterwards, he was really kind of numb. But I could tell that he was happy with it. And right away, I felt that, you know, he respected the fact that this is a film from my perspective. It's maybe not the film he would have made, and it represents a slice of his reality, but he respected all of that. However, his girlfriend had a lot of issues, various issues, including how many kisses should be in the film and all of that stuff. So at some point, we were negotiating, the three of us, and Shaheen started taking my side and started convincing Layli about certain things. And that really showed me that he liked the film. And he's been extremely supportive. He's come to festivals with us. He's done, you know, concerts with around the film. And he's very happy with it.
So he has become more, like, softer than before, easier to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, of course, after several years, you build a relationship, and I know how to deal with him now. But it's also very different when you're in the middle of it, right? And you're somewhat dependent on his collaboration. That is a very different thing from when the film is done, and everybody could technically go their own ways, you know. So it takes the pressure off. But of course, I've gotten to know him from, I think, every side one can get to know anybody, I'm sorry. And of course I've seen his soft spots, and above all, he is a tremendous artist. And so every time I was annoyed at him or ready to walk away, something pulled me back, and it always had to do with his music. You know, he would just sit down and start playing, and then I became like a groupie, you know. I would just kind of melt and be like, wow. And you know, I've talked to a lot of musicians, especially Iranians, who are kind of begrudging the fact that I made a film about Shaheen, because he's not actually that popular amongst a lot of people. And they will say, why Shaheen? He's not even that great a musician. And I always, well, first of all, there's a little bit of envy in this kind of comment always, but I always say, I can't, you know, I'm not a musician myself, so I can't say whether he's a brilliant musician, but the combination of his musicianship and his rawness and his energy and his conviction is unique. And that's what always pulled me back into the film, and I think that's what audiences respond to.
Well, thank you very much, Tia Chowder, for having been with us. Director of When God Sleeps at CU Sound Film Festival in Torino. I'm Angelo Cerbi for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.